Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith, my life gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best shout on a Sunday, would you? Amen. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 11, Proverbs chapter 11. And before we get to the scripture, guys, let me set this up. We're talking about the power of generosity. Generosity, you know, we serve a good God, don't we, church? And the Bible tells me that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So notice the greatest expression of love is to give. Can we agree? You know, if we serve a generous God, if we're following him, we should be becoming more generous every day of our life. If we're following God, the God that we know, the God who's a generous God, if we're following a God who loved us so much, he gave his only begotten son, then we should be growing in our generosity as his children. Can I have a strong amen today? All right, so we aren't born generous, we're born stingy. So we have to learn to be generous. Am I right? It's a learned behavior. So the closer we get to God and the longer we follow God, we take on his traits. For God so loved, he gave his only begotten son. That teaches us that the highest expression of love is giving. If you really love somebody, you want and are willing to give to them. You know, next Friday, you don't have to clap, just pray for us. But next Friday, Kim and I will celebrate 45 years of marriage. 45 years. Just pray for us. 45 years. Come Friday, we're going to celebrate. We're going to get down, get up. We're going to get happy. Amen? Now, I love her more today than I did 45 years ago. She's my helpmate. She's my soulmate. She's my partner in ministry. She's the mother of my children, the grandmother of my grandchildren. By the way, the first little girl that I baptized was my granddaughter, Lana. Wow. I'm a rich grandpa. Amen. So, you know, we're going to celebrate, but guess what? Come Friday. Now, remember, the highest expression of love is to give. So come Friday, she's going to want to hear more than I love you, Kim. She's going to want me to give her a gift, give her something. Amen, church. See, because I love her, I willingly want to give to her. If you love your parents, then you'll want to give to them. Generosity, being generous. Your children, your grandchildren, a friend. If you love your church, and I know you do, then nobody has to convince you to give to your church, because where your heart is, your treasure follows. Right? So if you love Church on the Rock, and I know you do, then I don't have to spend an hour and a half at the offering making people give. You willingly want to give into this ministry for the sake of what it's doing in people's lives, because you love this ministry. It makes you generous. So the greatest expression of love is giving, is generosity. Now, I want to just give you these statistics. I looked up in some books that I have, and the word believe. Now, I like that word believe, right? If we can only believe, all things are possible. Pastor Kim said, if you could believe, you'll see the goodness of the Lord at your address. So the word believe is found in the Bible 272 times. The word believe in the Bible is found 272 times. Believe is important, right? Nothing happens till we believe. But if we can believe, all things are possible today. The word pray. We believe in prayer at Church on the Rock, right? I was up this morning because I love you. At 5:30, I was praying for you. And then we have a prayer team and a prayer shield group of people that come and pray over all the seats at 7 o'clock. We believe in the power of prayer at Church on the Rock. Wednesday night, I'm beginning a brand new series on Wednesdays on prayer. Wednesday night, I'm teaching on the prayer of Jabez. Wednesday night, I'm excited about it. We believe in prayer. The word prayer or pray is found in the Bible 371 times, more than believe. So the word believe is found 272. The word pray is found, or prayer, 371. And then we go to love. Oh, I like the word love, don't you? You know, we walk by love. We walk in love, right? Our faith works by love. We're to walk the love walk. We're to imitate the love of God. Oh, we believe in agape, God's love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter. The word love is found in the Bible 714 times. Almost three times the word believe. Almost twice the word pray or prayer. Isn't that amazing? You know where I'm going, don't you? The word give in the Bible is found 2,161 times. The word give is found 2,161 times. Now, people who are mad at the church and all they think is the church is after their money, they don't like you to talk about giving in church. But people who are givers, I found out they're my cheerleaders. And they love for you to talk about giving because they know it works. Amen? But I want you to notice from the Bible that giving, the word give, is used more than believe. It's used more than pray. It's used more than love. In fact, giving is talked about more than heaven or hell. Jesus talked about giving more than any other topic. Isn't that amazing? So I think then that I should be a biblical pastor and teach on giving. Now, don't anybody run out right now. I told you, Myrtle, he was going to talk about getting money from us today. No. I'm not even going to talk about money this whole month. Take a deep breath. Amen. Take a Navy SEAL deep breath. Amen. I'm not even going to talk about money all month. I'm going to talk about generosity, the spirit, the attitude, the quality of generosity. If the word give is used more than any other word in the Bible, like faith, like believe, like heaven or hell or prayer or love, it must be a major topic. There must be a lot said about it in the Bible. And if that's true, and it is, it must mean a lot to you and I in our life to understand how to steward, how to manage our life, right? Which is made up of three T's. If you're a note taker, these three T's are what we are to be stewards over, managers over. How we handle these three T's determine the life we live. Number one is our time. Our time. How do we manage and steward our time? Are we generous with our time? Well, those of you that are on the dream team, you are, because you'll worship one and serve one. And you won't balk at that because you're generous with your time. Number two is talent. Talent. What are we to be generous with? Not only our time, but our talent. That's the ability and the gifts that God gave you. That's your craft. That's your vocation. That's your skill set. You know, here at Church on the Rock, we've got a few guys that are retired, and they come up and volunteer. They're on our dream team every week. These guys are amazing. These guys come for no payment. They're retired. They're using their talent, and they're generous with their talent, and they come every week and volunteer to make things happen at Church on the Rock. Why? Because they love their church. And what you love, you want to give towards. You want to be generous with. Can I have an amen today? So time and talent. And then the third thing is your treasure. That's your resources, your treasure. All right? So generosity. I looked up the word generous in an 1800, I think it's 1868, 18 something like that. Jerry Savelle gave it to me a couple decades ago. And it's Webster's edition in the 1800s. I looked up the word generous, and it said a cup that overflows. The word generous means a cup that overflows. And immediately, I think, as your pastor teacher, Psalm 23. Doesn't Psalm 23 say, he'll cause your cup to overflow and run over? I looked up in that same Webster's Dictionary, the 1800s edition, for the word generous, and it said this. Watch this now. Moving forward. You know, how many people that are stuck today, that are stuck in their jobs, stuck at their pay scale, stuck with their friends, stuck with the same old, and if they just stop being stingy and start being generous, they could kick into motion a miracle to get their life moving in the right direction. Now, I'm not talking to you about that stingy stuff. I'm talking to those people online that are watching us right now, okay? Praise the Lord. So with all that said, let's begin the word and look with me in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. On the screens, Proverbs 11, 24. The world of the generous. So I want to talk to you about your world this month, because I know you're generous. And I want to talk to you about the world of the generous. I don't want you and I to look through our world with glasses or lenses of lack, defeat, being up one day and down the next. There's so much being said right now about depression. So many people right now, because they can't handle life, they're so moody, they're up one day and down the next. Did you know people who are moody never get the raise? Because you can't trust them. You don't know if they're going to be up one day or down the next. There are so many people that are dealing with the highs and the low. One day they're having a party, the next day they're suicidal. I'm going to help you with that this month. Because a spirit of generosity will overcome that. A spirit of generosity will overcome self-centeredness, grief, sorrow, regret. A spirit, an attitude, a quality of generosity will help you overcome mood swings. Up one day and down the next. Can't control my emotions. People can't trust me. They can't invest in me. They sure enough won't give me a leadership position because they don't know if I'm going to be up or down, high or low. I'm going to help you with that this month. Notice the world of the generous. Everybody say that with me. The world of the generous. Now, if you're not living in that world, every good communicator tells an audience what they want them to think and then what they want them to do. What I want you to know and then what I want you to do. And what I want you to know is that the world of the generous, we develop, grow, and learn an attitude, a quality of generosity. Your world will get larger and larger and larger. Your world will not diminish. You will not have to look for ways to cut back, to take shortcuts, barely get through, to downscale your dream, to lower your sights. No, no, no. The world of the generous, what does it do, the Bible say? Gets what? Larger and larger. So if we'll make up our mind, we're going to be generous. Pastor, where do we start? Well, you know what? Mickey, she did an outstanding job. We gave you a tool. Now, this is what you're to do. For the next 31 days, she put on the back of here a random act of kindness, something you can do every day for this month. And if you and I will do only one, everybody say one, one random act of kindness a day before the sun goes down, at the end of the month, you'll have a tsunami in your life spiritually. You'll have transformation because what you sow, you're going to reap. Pastor, I wish I could have some friends start being friendly. Pastor, I wish somebody would just help me start helping somebody else. I just wish somebody would give to me, Pastor, then start giving to somebody else. And through a random act of kindness, remember Dr. Dave, okay? A random act of kindness, one a day before the sun goes down, I promise you, not only will your world get larger, number two, you will impact other people. You will impact other people. Look what it says, the world of the generous, you don't get smaller and smaller. And by the way, my brother and sister, as we follow Christ, our life should get better. Our life should get bigger. Our life should get blesseder. Forgive you, all you English teachers. The path of the righteous should get brighter and brighter. You should be believing for more and greater and bigger. You should be setting your sights high, your hopes high in Jesus' name. Your world is not to get weaker, darker, lesser, diminished, smaller. Your world, if you have, and I know you do, a generous spirit, willing to give, willing to share, willing to be kind with your time, with your talent, and with your treasure, your world should expand. How many of you want your world to expand? I do. I want my world to expand, and I want to impact more people. I believe you do too as well. Amen, church. So the world of the generous, say it with me, I am living in the world of a generous person. Then guess what? Your world should be expanding, getting larger and larger. But the world of the stingy, the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So, you know, I need to ask myself, is my world getting smaller and smaller, or is my world getting larger and larger? I need to evaluate and examine my life, because the Bible says if I'm generous with my time and generous with my talent and generous with my treasure, then I can expect my world to expand. And number two, I can expect to make a difference, an impact in other people's lives. We just came off vacation of 10 days. Really, part of it was business. We were at a church conference in Orange County, California, trying to learn how to be a better pastor for y'all. Then we tied in a vacation. We climbed in the Sahara Mountains in Northern California. And during our vacation, we met this young lady. Her name was Maria. Maria. Now, we had never met Maria before. We were in a gated community. We had to go past her every day. And Maria, she was a Hispanic lady, beautiful lady. And the first day we went through there, we saw her, and she had a frown on her face. She didn't look like she was enjoying her day, job, or life. So while we're waiting on her, Kim said, why don't we plant a seed? Why don't we just sow a $20 bill? That's not much. A $20 bill for her to go have Starbucks when she gets off of work. So we just said, you know, Maria, we're going to be here all week, and we just want you to know how much we appreciate you being here, and we just want to sow a seed into your life because we just care about you, because we are aware we care. That's a power phrase at our church. And we gave it to her, and guess what? She went from a frown to a smile. I impacted her. Kim and I, we impacted her with one small random act of kindness. And what does that do? When you sow kindness, you reap happiness. There goes the mood swings. There goes the ups and the highs and the lows. There goes all of that. Wow. So you know what? We went by where she was at throughout the week. And you know what? We began to build a relationship. Over what? A spirit of generosity. Over what? A random act of kindness. And by the third or fourth day, she's opening up her heart. And she said, you know, my birthday's Thursday. She said, I found a cash cow. I'm going back to that cash cow. She said, you know, my birthday's Thursday. Not really. She goes, my birthday is Thursday. And she said, I'm not real happy about it. Now, listen, we'd never met this lady before. Her name was Maria. We never met her, like a man in the moon. We didn't know her. But what opened her heart to us? Generosity, a random act of kindness, just doing something small that made a big impact. And she said, I'm not really looking forward to it. I said, well, Maria, why not? She goes, I'm turning 40. And she said, I don't want to turn 40. She goes, I'm getting old. I said, Maria, 40 is the new 20. I said, Maria, that's not old. And we began to encourage her. And throughout the week, look at this. She opened up. She didn't like her job. She wasn't excited about her season that she was in. But guess what? Every time we walked through and talked to her, she went from a frown to a smile. What was that? We were refreshing her, and it was refreshing us. We were watering her, but we were getting watered. We were blessing her, but we were getting abundantly blessed. It's called sowing and reaping. Look what it says. The world of the generous expands gets larger and larger. But a stingy, selfish, self-centered person, entitlement, that person, their life gets smaller, less options, less can-dos, more can'ts. But the next verse, in verse 25, it says, the one who blesses other people is abundantly, I like that word, abundantly blessed. The person who gets up with a mindset, today, who can I bless? That's generosity. The person like you and I, when we came on the campus today, I'm thinking about, who can I bless? You know, in the 9 o'clock service right before church, I went to a growth track and I was talking to one of our brothers. His name is Brad, and he's going through a growth track and he's been coming to church. And I said, hey, Brad, how you doing? He goes, Pastor, you're going to baptize me in water today. I'm so excited about it. And a tear started coming down his eye. He said, my mother's going to be watching online as her son gets baptized in water. Come on, somebody. That's what it's all about, isn't it? And by blessing him today, by getting to do water baptism in his life, a pivotal point, I got abundantly blessed just being able to do it. Isn't that the way that it works? So if you want to be, I think the New International Version says, if you want to be refreshed, Pastor, I'm like KJ, I'm coming to church, but I'm burnt out. Worship one, serve one, no way. I'll come once in a while. I'm not excited about Christianity. I'm kind of tired of religion. I'm kind of tired of church. Do you know how to get refreshed? Do you know how to get the fire back? Go bless somebody else. Go serve somebody. Go help somebody. Go pray for somebody. Go visit someone in the hospital. Pay a single mother's rent bill. Buy some groceries. Do a random act of kindness. Mekki so wonderfully gave us a tool to go out. One random act a day will change your life. Where at the end of this month, you'll give me a testimony and you'll say, Pastor, I am abundantly blessed. Mood swings are gone. The highs and the lows. I'm temperance now. I'm even. I'm stable. My life has changed. Can we thank the Lord for those testimonies that are going to come? Amen. You help other people. Pastor, nobody helps me. Well, are you helping anybody else? Or is it just all about you? The world's that way, but the church shouldn't be that way. Amen. By helping others, will be helped. Look at Galatians chapter 6 on the screen, verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. I'd like for you to read it to me on the count of three, would you? Out loud, everybody. It's life-changing. Get ready. 1, 2, 3. Your harvest, the car you drive, the job you have, the house you live in, the school your kids go to, the clothes you wear, the restaurants you eat at, the vacations you go on, what you sow and give into the kingdom of God. So notice that everything, the harvest is your life. Everything in your life today is there and is dependent entirely on you. Not the food line, not the government, not the church, not my ex, not my parents, not my friends, not the city, not the mayor, not the governor. No. The harvest, that's what we have in life, is dependent entirely on your giving, on a spirit of generosity. So that's why I started my homily, is what we do with the three T's, time, talent, treasure, determines the level, the scale of your pay. It determines what you make, where you can go, options you have. It determines if our world is getting smaller and smaller or larger and larger. This is what the Bible says. A man or a woman's harvest is dependent not on the lotto. Well, when I get married, it'll be better. When I get that new job, when I relocate, when we get a different president, when this comes through, when that comes through, that's a victim mentality. When the suit comes through, when I get my money, when the insurance pays a claim. No. That's an entitlement mindset. You're depending on everybody but the one who really counts. You are in control of your future. You are in control of your promotion, your pay scale, where you live, what you drive, what you wear, where you go, what you give to the kingdom of God. That's good news, because you are in control, not other people. So a person's harvest in life will depend entirely on what you sow. So number one, if you're a note taker, that why we're talking this month is that as your pastor who loves you, I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want you to grow in a spirit of generosity, and I want your world to expand, and get bigger. And then number two, I want you to impact more people than you've ever impacted before. Amen. As you refresh them, you'll be refreshed. As you water others, just look for one random act of kindness a day. And by the end of the month, you're going to have a tsunami of God's favor and God's kindness back on your life. Oh, I love it, don't you? As the team comes out, I got one more scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. Now, Timothy was a pastor. Did y'all know that? And he pastored a church in Ephesus. And Paul's talking to him. And the church at Ephesus, as history tells us, was 35,000 members at this time. God believes in big churches. 35,000 members. Paul is talking to Timothy. And he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth. God doesn't mind if you and I are wealthy. He just doesn't want us to worship our wealth. God doesn't mind if you have a nice car, a nice house, a nice job, a nice things, as long as it doesn't keep you out of church and serving Him. God doesn't care if we have things, as long as things don't have us. Notice He didn't say, tell everybody who's rich in the church to give away all their money. He didn't say that. He said, just tell them what their priorities should be. So He said, tell them to put their hope not in their wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. So who is your source today? God. Who's your provider today? God. Put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our ups and downs, ins and outs. No, for our enjoyment. For our enjoyment. God wants you to enjoy the life that He's given to you. Next verse. So I want to know the why. Pastor, you know, why are you teaching on generosity? I get it. You want us to grow in generosity. You want us to grow in good works. You want us to impact people. You want our lives to get bigger. You want us to be enriched so we can enrich others. We get it. But Pastor, I want to know the why. I want to know the why behind it. You know, they say millennials want to know the why. I think everybody wants to know the why. Amen? Why be generous? My parents were stingy. My grandparents were stingy. I'm going to be stingy. No. Your world will get smaller. Your options will get smaller. So why are we doing this? Look what he says. What's the first word there? I can't hear you. I'm going to do a Fred Price. I love Fred Price. I want to do a Fred Price. I still can't hear you. Okay, now don't get mad if I get blunt. Don't get mad if I get direct. It's only because I love you. And the Bible says I'm to command. Not to control. That's shepherding. But I'm to command. I'm to tell you what I want you to know. Be generous. Create a world where your world is a world full of generosity. So look what he says. Command them to do good, and command them to be rich in good deeds, and command them to be... command them to be
generous.
Teach all month during the October to be
generous.
If I'm a good pastor, I'm not trying to get stuff from anybody. I'm trying to talk about what you and I should know. We serve a generous God. We should be generous people. With our time, with our talent. What does that mean? If you're a plumber, donate it to the church, your time. If you're an electrician, an IT person, a painter, you should donate time and your talent to the kingdom of God. Or people in need, or the widows, or the orphans, or the outcast. And then your treasure, that's your resources. Amen, church? to be generous. Command them to be generous and willing, not forced, but willing. When you know the why, you're willing. What's the why? Next verse. Here's the why. In this way, what way? When you teach everyone how to be generous and grow in generosity. When you're generous, you're laying up treasure for yourself as a firm foundation in the coming age. Here's what I know. Earth life is short. Earth life is short. Eternal life is long. What does that mean, Pastor? I should be preparing in this world for the coming age. I should be laying up treasure through a spirit of generosity, an attitude of generosity, looking for ways to bless others and be a blessing with my time, with my talent, with my treasure. And what am I doing? I'm determining what I'm going to do in the next world that's going to last forever. That's the why. Why? We're preparing our future. So he said, in this way, you're laying up treasure for yourself, foundation for the coming age, so that you can take hold of the life, eternal life, that is really, truly life. Amen, church. Now, here's some PowerPoints real quick in closing. What generosity will do for you. Number one, tell me, what does it say? Number two. See, remember I told you in that Webster's edition of the 1800s, generosity means to move forward. That was one of the definitions. Wow, if I'm stuck today, maybe just buying somebody's lunch on Sunday. Thank you, Paul. Maybe just buying somebody's lunch on Sunday. Thank you, Three Hoops and a Holler. We'll get you unstuck and get you moving forward. So it'll keep me moving forward. Number three, what does it say? You'll impact others. Number four, what does it say? You're preparing your future. So what should I do? Number five, look daily. Everyone say daily for opportunities to be generous, to use your kindness card. And I double dog dare you to do it all month and come back at the end of this month and you're going to have testimonies galore. I'm out of time. Did you get something from the Word? Give the Lord a good praise, would you? Hallelujah.